The U.S. economy appears to be getting stronger each month. Jobs are growing steadily and corporate earnings are solid and consumers are picking up their spending, all of this being aided by low oil prices and low inflation. January's unemployment numbers came in at 5.7%, which is down from a high of 10% in October 2009. And over the last 3 months, employers hired at the fastest pace since 1997. Also, and everyone should take note, after years of stagnant wage growth, average hourly earnings rose by 0.5%. That's the biggest gain in 6 years. We've also recently seen positive announcements on the wage front. For example, in February, Walmart announced a pay raise to $10 an hour. And other companies such as Starbucks and Aetna have also raised wages at the lower rungs. And that's good news, too. However, there's reason to be only cautiously optimistic. We have seen wage pressure cycles before. In the 1970s, rising oil prices put pressure on producers to control other costs, such as wages, rather than raise prices. And when the baby boomers and more women entered the workforce, the greater supply of labor helped keep wages down. Over the next several decades, with the rise of globalization, companies outsourced operations to lower wage countries, and technological innovation eliminated many jobs. Also, since tech jobs need less workers than manufacturing jobs, fewer new jobs are being created. So, unfortunately, this leads to the conclusion pointed out in a recent article from the Wharton School that workers should not expect dramatic wage increases anytime soon. And here are a few key reasons. First, there are a lot of people who are unemployed and underemployed in the United States. These are people available for hire and waiting on the sidelines for the right job to show up. This means there's still a lot of labor slack, which makes it easier and more efficient for firms to keep new workers at the current wage rate. And although recent job gains are encouraging, we're still down 4 to 5 million jobs compared to before the recession, and the number of people working part-time jobs is up about 50%. So workers still don't feel secure, and they're not in a position to demand substantial wage gains, and very few are in a position to voluntarily quit their jobs. Then, there's also an eager supply of foreign workers that would be happy to work for seriously low wages, especially in countries where youth unemployment is in the high double digits. I mean, 58% of the youth in places like Greece and Spain are unemployed. 58%! 40% in Italy, and over 20% in developed countries like France and the UK. Then there are the low-cost workers in places like China and India, eager to take on more work from U.S. companies. Technology is another factor that plays against wage hikes. As technology gets ever more sophisticated, it continues to displace workers, while weaker worker protection laws gives employers the upper hand. So modest signs of wage growth offer little reasons to pop that champagne cork just yet. We need to see larger real wage growth over a much more extended period of time across all wage levels in the economy before we can say we're making any progress. Another factor that's been holding back wage gains is the shift in how the economic pie has been divided. Customers are now getting much better products and services at price levels that are only slightly higher than before. So there's a value for money shift in favor of our consumers. In parallel, shareholders have done very well through the booming stock market, but employees have been doing poorly. And as a result, there's rising inequality, with the top 10% of U.S. earners now getting 40 to 50% of the national income. That's up from 30 to 35% in the 70s, and the bottom half gets only a quarter of national income. What's more, most of the gains for the top 10% in the U.S. have taken place really among the top 1%, those at the very, very top. For example, the top 1% receives 3/4 of the wage gains of the top 10%, and the other 9% saw pay increases just slightly above those of average workers in lower income tiers. Economists attribute these outsized gains to the rise of super managers. These are elite corporate executives who are able to negotiate very high levels of compensation. And finally, the economy is operating under a new set of rules. Increasing productivity no longer guarantees higher wages for the average worker. Productivity increases don't have to be shared with labor. Who gets it all depends on who has the bargaining power. Over the last four decades, labor unions have weakened, the minimum wage has eroded in value, and globalization and technology are replacing U.S. workers. So what's next? Restoring the American dream for the middle class is set to take center stage in the upcoming presidential election in both parties. Politicians and policymakers will be debating a variety of ideas like minimum wage hikes, overtime protections, and giving free choice so workers can join unions. And you know, we're already starting to hear the drumbeat of more union participation. Whether the drumbeat becomes deafening or stays subdued remains to be seen. And the federal government is talking about increasing financial support for higher education, including free community college education, which many believe will give workers a better chance of earning a higher wage due to being better educated. But after all is said and done, nothing raises wages like fewer workers for the same amount of jobs, a high employment rate. And that, my friends, is intrinsically tied to the strength of the U.S. and world economy. So for now, rejoice in the fact that U.S. unemployment is low relative to the rest of the world, that U.S. wages are still among the highest in the world, and live well within your means. Save as much as you can and ride out this slump in the hopes of a better tomorrow.